Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. This just in from Washington a few minutes ago, by the way. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear arguments over President Obama's health care overhaul. In other words, the challenge to the individual mandate to buy health insurance is a constitutional challenge, and the Supreme Court has agreed to hear it. The AP says arguments are likely in late March, so right as the campaign season is heating up, when we'll probably know who the Republican nominee is going to be, the Supreme Court will hear arguments and, I guess, rule by the end of their term, which would be the end of June, as to whether the individual mandate is constitutional. So, again, the Supreme Court agreeing this morning to hear the legal fight over the health care overhaul. Meanwhile, Europe is in perhaps its toughest hour since World War II. Strong words today from German Chancellor Angela Merkel as Greece and Italy hastily form new governments to try and slow the march of the Eurozone debt crisis. Reuters finance blogger Felix Salmon joins us to look at the latest developments and what they mean here as well as there. Hi, Felix. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian.
That's very chilling language from Chancellor Merkel. Toughest hour since World War II, considering what World War II was. Did she choose her words carefully?
There's been a lot of loose talk in Europe of late, but I fear that she's right. Europe has been quite left since World War II. It's been getting stronger, and the countries have been getting closer together, and we've had European Union on both the economic and the monetary level, and now suddenly it's all coming apart. Europe hasn't really faced a pan-European crisis since World War II.
There is a new name on the world stage as of today. Mario Monti, succeeding Silvio Berlusconi to form a new Italian government. He's an economist, isn't he?
He is. He's what's known as a technocrat. He's unelected. He's not a politician. We have the same thing going on in Greece. The idea is that the politicians got us into this mess, and so anyone but a politician is best placed to get us out of it. I'll believe it when I see it.
Unless the economists, too clever by half, got us into this mess. See Greenspan, Allen.
Exactly. Yeah, the technocrats have not covered themselves in glory in recent years. And what's more, they don't have political support, which means that they find it much more difficult to bring the country along behind them. If the Italians and the Greeks don't approve of what their prime ministers are doing, they will revolt. We do have democracies, after all.
Now, there is some good news from Italy this morning. And that is that there is very good demand today, apparently, for an Italian bond sale. In other words, Italian debt is not being shunned as toxic by investors, which was the big fear last week. Have you seen yet what's been happening with that today?
Well, getting bonds away is always a good thing. The big question is how much they can get away. And not only in Italy, the other big problem right now is the European Financial Stability Facility, the big pan-European sort of bailout fund, is having enormous difficulty raising money. So it's just as well that Italy can borrow money right now, because it looks like the bailout fund can't.
All right. Anybody with roots anywhere in Europe, the phones are yours for the next 10 minutes. First preference, first priority to Italians. Tell us about this Mario Monti, if you know him. We've been having so much fun making fun of Silvio Berlusconi all these years. Who is Mario Monti, and is he the serious-minded technocrat that Italy needs? Any Italians, people with ties to Italy, listening right now? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We got a whole bunch of Brits calling in last week, Felix, you'll be glad to hear, on what Guy Fawkes Day really is. So now maybe people from Britain or anywhere in Europe want to call in. How about anybody with roots in Germany or connections to Germany? Why is that economy holding up so well? And what do you think about Chancellor Merkel saying that this may be Europe's toughest moment since World War II? Anybody with ties to Europe? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. 9-2 with Reuters finance blogger Felix Salmon. Felix, a little bit more on that bond sale. I'm looking at the AP version here. It says Italy easily raised 3 billion euros, or about $4 billion, from markets, though at a higher cost, as Premier Designate Mario Monti began talks on forming a new government of experts to guide the country through the financial crisis. While the Treasury raised the maximum sought, market sentiment remained cautious. Investors demanded an interest rate of about 6.3%, the highest level since 1997, compared with 5.3% in a similar auction a month ago. And that's how they would get into the real debt crisis, right? If the interest rates have to spike so high, eventually people will lose confidence and won't buy it at all. You know, we might say with interest rates at zero in this country, gosh, I'll buy some Italian bonds and I'll get 6.5% on my money, unless people think, no, I'm so concerned that they're going to go bankrupt that I may not get anything back on my money and I'm not going to make this investment at all. And then the country really goes broke.
Exactly. And the point of no return is considered to be around 7%. At that point, Italy cannot, no matter how many fiscal cuts it makes, no matter how much austerity that it implements, Italy simply cannot roll over its debts and avoid a default. So the fact that this bond issue came in below 7% is reasonably good. 6.3 is high, but it's within the realm of possibility that Monti can manage it. The bad news is that it was only 3 billion euros. I mean, they started off small to make sure they could get something away, but 3 billion euros is obviously not remotely big enough to solve Italy's problem. And the big, big question is whether they can scale this and just issue more and more debt at these kind of levels.
So I asked for callers with ties to Italy, Felix, right?
Yes.
But I forget that in this era of the internet, those calls don't just have to come from Little Italy in Lower Manhattan or North Caldwell in New Jersey, say. They can come from Milan. Gordon, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling and thank you for listening.
I always do, every day.
What's happening in Milan?
Well, I was checking the news yesterday. I just got back from New York from a 10-day stay. So I was following the Berlusconi.
And we have a terrible phone line. So let me just get you right to the point on what you think or what you're hearing around you about Monti.
Mario Monti seems to command a gray eminence respect here in Italy because of his past duties as a European Commission stand up against monopolies such as Jack Welch with GE and so forth.
Gordon, I'm going to have to leave it there because the line is so bad. You know anything about that, Felix? Did he stand up to GE in some way? Is that part of his background?
You know what? Now he comes to mention it. I believe it was. There was the Europeans have a much tougher monopolies and regime than an antitrust regime than the U.S. does, but this is not going to really help him very much in terms of implementing fiscal austerity in Italy, which is the big question for the rest of the world. I think for the time being, I mean, if all new prime ministers have a honeymoon period, and we're seeing this with Monti in Italy, we're seeing this with Papademos in Greece as well, that the populations are saying, hey, this is good, we've got someone who knows what they're doing in charge, let's give him a minute to try and work things out, because obviously it wasn't working before. What I'm worried about is that when the tough decisions get made, the population will start complaining that they're being run by an unelected bureaucrat who doesn't really care about the domestic population nearly as much as they care about received opinion in Brussels.
Eurocrat. And here it is from Reuters itself. Monti made his name as the powerful competition commissioner who took on U.S. corporate titans General Electric and Microsoft, blocking GE's planned merger with rival Honeywell and imposing a record $683 million antitrust fine on the software giant Microsoft. So a little background on Mario Monti. And the question is, as you properly raise, do those skills transfer to solving the debt crisis. And time will tell. Let's take another phone call. Pietro in Jersey City. You're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for letting me express my ideas about Monti. I think he's the perfect man in charge. He's the one who really can bring Italy the way that Italy is supposed to be, because we are the third power in Europe. You know, we are it's very difficult to compare Italy to Greece. We really produce. So we are paying the debts of the money that the government borrowed just to run the circles of Berlusconi. But Mario Monti, you know, it will make sure also then Goldman Sachs and the Rockefeller Association, whatever is invested from all the, especially in America, is going to get protected. Like, is there even to watch the interest of everybody else in the Italian economy, which is very florid? You know, Italians, they do have a name. The Greeks, they can give islands and a little bit of their past, but Italy is a very, very big machine of productivity.
Thank you.
And I'm very happy that Berlusconi is out of the games. It should be a Fellini character.
Yeah, well, he is a Fellini character, no question about that. Pietro, thank you very much for calling. And there's one Italian-American optimistic about Mario Monti. And, of course, Felix, what they keep saying in the U.S. press is that no one can bail out Italy like they're bailing out Greece, because the Italian economy is just too big. Pietro talks about it as a third power. But today I read on Reuters that Berlusconi made a parting shot yesterday, asking for the European Central Bank to become the lender of last resort for Italy if necessary. Is it clear to you what exactly he was asking for?
Yes. What he's saying is that if Italy can't borrow money on the private markets, like it just managed to borrow $3 billion today, if for whatever reason the private market window closes and it can't borrow money there, then Italy should be able to borrow directly from the European Central Bank. This is not an unreasonable request, actually, because if there's liquidity problems and people don't want to be lending Italy money, then it's the job of Europe to try and make sure that the country can continue on. But at the same time, it's actually illegal for the European Central Bank to do that, and it would probably take all manner of referendums and treaty changes and stuff to get that kind of thing through, and there's no way at all that that's going to happen.
Here's a tweet from a Scott Gilmore who says, Greece is collapsing, the Iranians are getting aggressive, and Rome is in disarray. Welcome back to 430 BC.
It's true. One of the weird things about what's happening right now in Europe is that all of the great European unity, which we believed in 15, 20 years ago, seems to have dissipated and been replaced by the kind of intra-European fractiousness that has reigned for, you know, 2,000 years before that. And maybe the people who designed the European Union might have stopped to think that their historical moment might not last forever.
Even France is in the line of descent. I'm looking at a headline in the Sydney Morning Herald business section that says, France may be next domino to fall. Now, is that an alarmist Australian view, or do they think that in Paris?
I think if the French domino fell, then, you know, it would be too late at that point. That's not the domino. That's the entire European cake just, you know, souffle just collapsing at that point.
But is that a realistic thing?
There's no euro left if France goes. But you're right. People are worried about France because if Italy goes, French banks have a huge amount of exposure to Italy. And then if French banks go, then France will be next in the firing line.
So what's the buzz behind the scenes? What won't the politicians say about the worst-case scenarios because they're too scary? Or for that matter, the best case scenarios, because they don't want to build false hopes.
Well, we all know the worst case scenario at this point. The worst case scenario is that Europe's banks and the peripheral countries like Spain and Portugal and Italy find themselves, just like Greece, in a situation where they're incapable of borrowing money on the private markets. And then if the European Central Bank and the European Stability Mechanism and the European Financial and Stability Facility and all of these other crazy alphabet soup of money devices are not capable of stepping up and providing the funding that these banks and countries need, then that is the end of the euro. That is a very, very real and scary prospect.
It's not just the end of the euro as a currency. It's a global financial crisis like 2008 or worse.
It's worse. I mean, it's significantly worse, because at least in 2008, I know this is going to sound crazy, but at least in 2008, the financial crisis originated in the U.S. And in the U.S., we have a central bank which has a lot of power and the ability to do things like quantitative easing and unlimited liquidity providing to its domestic banks. In Europe, there's none of that. And so if you have a crisis which originates in Europe, there's very little indication that there are the institutions there capable of responding to a crisis in the way that we had in the U.S.
What are the odds of that worst-case scenario?
Well, Italy's still borrowing money. The euro is still there. Liquidity crises, when they come, crises like this one, when they come, tend to come very, very swiftly. You know, it's a bit like, you remember during the financial crisis, everyone needed to do everything before the Asian market opened on Sunday night. So we haven't had that yet. There's no talk yet of, oh, we're going to need to declare a pan-European bank holiday because otherwise there will be a mass rush to the exits. So there's some time, but we don't know how much time, mm-hmm. and it could happen literally any day.
So last question. Chancellor Merkel is calling this perhaps your toughest moment since World War II. Why is Germany itself so immune? I was reading over the weekend that it is near a budget surplus and with relatively low unemployment. Do they somehow have an economy apart right in the heart of the Eurozone?
They are the part of the Eurozone which has a current account surplus. They don't really need to borrow money from abroad. In fact, they're the people who are lending their surplus right. euros to countries like Italy and Spain.
But why? How can they be immune to everything that's going on in the rest of Europe and in the United States in terms of deficits?
Well, it's a kind of mathematical equivalence, really. If you have countries which are running deficits, you need to have other countries which are running surpluses. It can't all be China. Someone has to do it, and it just happens to be Germany.
There you go. Felix Salmon, Reuters finance blogger. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Coming up next, nonviolent movement advocate Gene Sharp with a reference book that should be on every occupier's shelf, Sharp's Dictionary of Power and Struggle. Stay tuned.